taking the scriptures now, let's turn in them to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, as we continue in this book and we come to the end of it this morning. Galatians 6, we'll be reading verses 1 through 18, the whole chapter. Beloved, hear now the word of the Lord. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone, and not in regard to another. For each one will bear his own load. The one who has taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. See if with what large letters I'm writing to you, with my own hand. Those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised simply so that they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. But may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And those who will walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on let no one cause trouble for me, for I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brethren. Amen. So here, remember, the first 10 verses we see gives us a more plain and practical direction for the Christian who have been, of course, justified by faith alone in Christ alone. That's the message of the book of Galatians, that we are justified by faith alone in Christ alone. And it is not by works of the law, it is not by being circumcised in that day and today. It's not by being good enough that we can be justified or saved. But now, it is by faith alone, obviously, but now, what is your Christian duty? If you are saved, if you're a Christian, what is your duty but to promote the communion of saints in love? What does this look like? Because it says, it shows that here, what it is of the communion of saints, to do so, to promote that in love. What does this look like? It first looks like bearing one another's burdens. Even verse 1, if anyone is caught in any transgression. Notice it doesn't say if anyone is caught in the most heinous transgression, or what some perceive to be a greater sin than another. But it says if anyone is caught in any transgression, any sin, then you who are spiritual, that is you who are Christians, if you look at the last chapter, remember the fruit of the Spirit was just given, verse 22, and then verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. So if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual, you who are producing fruit, you who are walking by the Spirit because the Spirit is in you, you are to restore the sinner, or aim, have as your aim, to restore the sinner in gentleness. And so it means that this anyone who is sinning is a Christian, because you're restoring them. So So anyone who is in the church of God, if they're in sin, then in the spirit of gentleness, you are to go to them, pray for them. You are to go to them and attempt to restore them by the word of God. And in this, he gives us a call to examine ourselves. To examine your lives and your actions, that we would, looking to yourself, it says, that you would not also be tempted. That you would not fall into the same sin as they're committing. And to even refrain from boasting in yourself, as he goes on to teach and talk about. Verse 6, there are also those who are taught. There are those who are taught the word of God, which means that there are teachers. And teachers in the church are to teach what? They're to teach the word of God alone. When preaching occurs, it is to be a preaching of the word of God. But here is a duty, congregation, that we don't often think of, that Paul brings out. It's the same verse. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Notice again the word all. All good things that you have. The one who is taught, you are to share that with the one who teaches you. The hearer is to share with the teacher. It is the duty of those who are taught the word to support those appointed to teach them. You're to do so freely and cheerfully, as other passages talk about. Now, this passage goes on to talk about sowing and reaping. Planting and harvesting. And so what's being talked about here is contributing of the good things that you have received to what is needed for comfortable sustenance. Listen to what Matthew Henry says. Ministers are to give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. 1 Timothy 4:13 he references. They are not to entangle themselves with the affairs of this life. 2 Timothy 2:4. And therefore it is but fit and equitable that while they are sowing to others spiritual things, they should reap their carnal things. And this is the appointment of God Himself. For as under the law, those who ministered about holy things lived of the things of the temple. They received the tithes, you remember, from the sacrifices. So hath the Lord ordained that those who preach the gospel should live of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9. Referencing that passage that calls Christians to give to the church, to give to supply their ministers. And this continues unto God's people as a whole generally. That when you have opportunity, you ought to do good, not only to the minister in that way, but as it goes on to say, to all people, to serve them, to help them, even in our actions of loving our enemies. And then it says, especially those you're supposed to help and serve, especially those who are of the household of faith, that God's household of the church. The second half of the chapter, verses 11 on, goes back to the main design of this whole book. So it kind of summarizes the whole book and applies it. To strengthen the people of God against the false teaching that was in their midst, saying that you needed to be circumcised to be saved. You need to be circumcised to be justified. And so to strengthen the people of God against this false teaching, to confirm them in the truth and freedom of the gospel, Paul gives them the true character of these false teachers who are focused on getting the Gentiles circumcised so that they can what? Boast in themselves. They were doing this so that they would boast in themselves. Verse 13, halfway through, but they desire to have you circumcised, Gentiles, so that they may boast in your flesh. Boast about somebody else. So that they can actually boast in themselves. And Paul rebukes this because all boasting, he says, is to be a boasting not in yourself, not in another, but in the cross of Jesus Christ, the boasting in the gospel, the one who truly saves. And so, beloved, your boasting is to be in Christ alone. All boasting is to be in Christ alone. The book ends with the pronouncement of blessing upon those who are justified by faith alone. And verse 18, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brethren. He says, truly, amen. Amen? Let's pray. Gracious Father, we praise you for your word. We thank you that you have spoken it to us and revealed yourself to us in it, and even rebuked us of our sin. Of even for some of us here who are Christians, who are still attempting, even though we would never say we believe that we're justified or saved by our works, and yet we still sometimes live like it. That when we enter into sin, then we feel so sorrowful, not the biblical type of sorrowfulness, but even further sorrowful that leads to depression, at which we are not even willing to approach your throne in prayer. Which we're scared of you. We've forgotten the promises. We've forgotten who has truly saved us. And we're relying upon our own works to justify us. Even sometimes scared of our losing our salvation because of a sin that we've committed. And yet, Father, we know that in Christ alone, you save us. You justify us by faith that you give us. Not as a work, not so that we could boast in ourselves, as Ephesians says. But even as it says here, that we would boast in the cross of Jesus Christ alone. And so, Father, may we be reminded, even as Christians, and even any who here who are not Christians, that justification or salvation does not come by our own works. It comes by Christ's works for us. His perfect righteousness and His perfect sacrificial death to satisfy the divine justice, the wrath of God. We thank you for the imputation of Christ's righteousness to us. And how you even had that our sin, the guilt of our sin, be imputed to Christ on the cross. That He would receive that punishment that we deserve. And so, Father, we praise you. You deserve all our love, all of our energy, all of our focus of our lives, all of everything of us. For what you have given in your Son, delivering Him over for us all, that we might in Him have all things. Even as it says, justification, which will result in glorification. And so, Father, we praise you for this. We ask that we would be the men and women and children of your church who are faithful to you because you have saved us by your Son. That you would continue our faith and grow it. And that we would even be producing the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, and onward. And that we would bear one another's burdens as the church. And so fulfill the law of Christ. Not for justification, but because of Christ working in us, sanctifying us and cleansing us of all sin. Father, we have many petitions, many still who are sick, myself and Karen and Grace and others. Father, we do praise you for how you have healed our bodies before. We ask that you would heal our bodies now. Those who are still struggling in body, even Sharon Boss, Father, we ask that you would be with them and heal their bodies, for you're the God who is the healer. And we know you will, at least in the last, when you cause our bodies to be raised up from the grave and giving us new glorified bodies, our bodies will be perfect. And there will be no pain, no illness, no sickness, not even reason for tears. Father, we also ask that you would be with Patrick and his family as he goes overseas to serve our nation, that you would protect him from harm, and that you would protect his family and provide for all of them while they are separated. We know, as we've prayed many times before, even now we pray for John, Becky's husband, we know it's not good for man to be alone. That is your word. And so, Father, we ask that you would bring Patrick back quickly, that you bring John here quickly to be with his wife. And Father, we ask that you would be faithful to your word. Be faithful to your promises. Father, we know that you're a God who is merciful and gracious and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. So be who you say you are. And we know that you will. Because you're the God who is always faithful, never changing, and the God of truth. Never have you once failed us. Never have you once been unfaithful to what you've said you would do and be. And so, Lord, be that and do that as you have said, for your glory, that we would see answers to our prayers, which we already have now, as 1 John tells us and teaches us. We already have our requests when we pray according to your will. And so, Father, show us the answers to these prayers, that we would respond with thanksgiving and giving you complete glory, not any other person, not praising any man, but glorying in you and even in your Son who lived and died for us. Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. Amen.